I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Go back to where you were created in X2 Wolverine's Revenge. The games. Use your mutant powers and stealth to uncover your mysterious past. Take on your arch enemies. A few other surprises.
I don't like surprises.
X2 Wolverine's Revenge, the game. Rated T for teen.
That's just one
you
commercial.
Heard here. Mark Hamill doesn't like surprises.
He doesn't like him at all. He's the Joker as well.
You're my father?
Hey, everybody, welcome to Play Retro. This is Play Retro. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and I have four sets of claws, three on the right hand, three blades on the left. Mm-hmm. I got one set of three on my left foot, and I keep one under my bed at night. Anyway, they're helpful for stabby stab and pokey poke. Sometimes I just pop the middle one out and flip people off. You like that, bub?
Wow, so you're a real Wolverine. I gotcha. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I just woke up to find myself claw deep in some real mutant-level poo-poo with little to no memory of how I got here, what the hell is going on, or who is pulling the strings. Now it is time to do some adamantium-defying gymnastics and rage my way to answers in the form of cutscenes. Wolverines! And I'm dead. But my healing factor! I still dead? All right, but Professor X is going to hear about this. Wolverine!
Yeah, Patrick Stewart. We'll hear about it in one of them. PS2 game,
yep.
Right? Same one as Mark Hamill.
I think you hear about it always, but I think we only hear his voice once we get to that PS2 level stuff.
Yeah, I think that's
correct.
They
had Patrick Stewart money, but not Mark Hamill. Or they had Mark Hamill money, but they didn't have Hugh Jackman money for the X2.
Yeah, this is also a time where Patrick Stewart was doing a lot of game contracts. He was in the upcoming, it wouldn't be that long until we got Elder Scrolls, what was the one in Hell? Oblivion. Their version of hell. And he's the guy you got to save at the very beginning of that weird game. That game is weird.
Yeah.
One day when that game's, 2005 is next year. So we'll have 20 years on that game. We can probably talk about that game in a retro point of view.
It's safe.
And talk about how janky it is.
I always feel safe at 20 years.
Yeah. I'd feel pretty safe at 20. 20 is your mark, you know? And then you just have as much fun in between.
I'm not saying all games are 20 years old are retro, but you know, I mean, because some things that live through iterations, like we talked about World of Warcraft. I mean, it still looks like a modern game, even when you go back and play the old stuff.
The old one's pretty ugly.
It's got marks. It's got the markings of retro, but you know, you can make an argument.
I could see that, but if I play like vanilla WoW. I can't do it because it's so old and ugly. And I love retro games, but there's a certain ugly 2004-ish PC MMO aesthetic that is no longer working for me. And I like how modern WoW looks in most ways. There's still some places where it's, you know, they're still using remnants of an old engine, and a lot of things have changed, and they beautified a lot of things. But in some ways, they're still held to having to use what they have to use. But I look at the old version of WoW graphics, like the old character models, texture mapping, world design, that sort of thing. And I know people love this. That's why Classic took off and is doing real well for them. I understand. Okay. I get it. But I don't want that. That was there then because it's the best we could do. Today, I want MMOs where we can do the best we can do now. That's what I want.
Right.
All right.
That's what I want.
So I'll play retail WoW. You guys got your freaking classic. You got the weird third thing now, which is the battle royale mode in that game. Everybody's happy. One sub gets you all three. Good luck to you.
Yeah. Unless the only sub you want is for that old stuff, in which case that's kind of expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people are doing that, though. I mean, it's never changed. The same, it's the same price. Well, I shouldn't say never in parts of the world, but in the U.S., it's never been more than $14 a month. $14.99, yeah. Whatever it is.
I mean, we know about inflation. We've heard of it better, right?
We've heard. I've heard all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But in some markets, I know it's gone up considerably over the years. But in the 20 years we've had it, right. They have not yet bumped that up. And also, they started high because other MMOs at the time,
yes.
EverQuest, RuneScape, others that you'd pay for, yeah. Maybe not RuneScape, whatever it was, those games were all $9.99. That was the standard. Yeah. These guys come along and go, how about 15? And you're going to do it because it's Warcraft and it's Blizzard. And we all said, I guess so. And here we are still doing it.
You know, I haven't thought about it, but you're very much right. And they kept adding consistent content. And then you think of like Netflix. It's like they can't stop raising the price. It feels like every time I turn around, it's like, hey, we have a little bit more money. And it's like, well, why? And it's like, well, we're going to add some more content. And I'm like, oh, okay, but I don't like this content you're adding.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. Stop with your content.
More. Yeah.
Stop
adding your shitty content and give me.
That's right. Give me some other content. Like things about World of Ring. We're going to talk about NES all the way up through roughly that PS2 era of Wolverine games. At least we're picking out the ones we like the most. And this is not us focused on the X games or X-Men games that included Wolverine so much as the sort of solo outings that he experienced on his own, given that he is still, I think, to this day, the most popular, what do you call him? Mutant. There is.
He's got the most interesting backstory of all the X-Men, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many people. And we stuck with just pure Wolverine games, even though he is featured in other X games, like Scott said.
Mm-hmm.
And also back to that retro thing, 20 years. I always tell people, it's like, well, where do you define retro? I'm like, I can't define retro. I can't do that for you, but I can define play retro. And play retro says anything older than 20 years.
Ding. There you go. 20 years. That's our Ding. Rule. That's our rule. So we got some 04 shit to talk about this year, probably. It's fine.
Yeah, we do.
I don't know what, and I don't know when, but we will. And we'll also keep dipping back into the 70s with arcades and 80s with consoles, yeah. 90s with 16-bit. Like, this is, we like it all, man. The whole laid out history of video games is there for the picking, you know?
Giving it to me all. I want all of it.
All of it. All right, before we do anything else.
Stick it in my Weapon X hole.
Stick it in your Weapon X hole and pump it through your veins. Mm. Metal through your veins. All right, check this out. A little retro news for the week. This isn't so much retro as it is interesting, but have you messed with Moonlight at all? Do you know what this is?
Yes, it is the streaming. So you stream retro game, or the way I've always seen it set up is to stream like games, right?
Any games. Yeah,
you do a better explanation of that.
Yeah, it's any games you want, but basically, so all right. So GeForce Now, which is the mm-hmm. NVIDIA game service thing, is based on an open source project. In this case, this fork is called Moonlight, but it is designed, I know you can do this with remote connections like 5G and stuff, but mostly people are using it as like an internal network type streaming thing. Mm. Because as it is right now, Steam, for example, they have the Steam Link capability where you can pump it anywhere in the house you want on devices of various kinds. It's not great. It's okay. It gets the job done, but I've had a lot of problems with it. It's never been really solid for me. And I'm using that on the same network that I'm using a PlayStation Portal, which has been nothing but solid. I don't have any issues on that thing. It's like it's latency-less. It's insane how good that thing works. And that got me to thinking. People in our Discord started talking about this Moonlight thing. I'd heard of it, but never messed with it. So I installed it on a Mac, and I'm in the middle of putting it on my Steam Deck. But it will play anything from your PC.
Anything
streamed over your local network with very little latency, and mm-hmm. I tried it and it really works great. Like, I'm impressed kind of how well this worked for me.
PlayStation thing has prompted you to go, I need more of this in my life. Can I turn my Steam Deck into this for my PC?
Because yes, if these are that if they're this good, Steam Link alone's not good enough. Sorry Steam. It's not great. It's okay.
It's not. I don't know what the problem is. I'm with Scott, and you can argue with us if you want to, but I have never had a great experience with Steam Link. And you're going to say, we got to poke it in through the wired network. I've done it all.
I've done it all, too. I've done everything, and it's always an issue. But I'm having a great time with Wi-Fi with this PlayStation Portal. Freaking explain it to me. It's on right. The same network. So what that tells me is Steam Link's a little half-baked and not a priority. That's fine. That's okay. Yeah. I play most of my Steam Deck games natively anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I want to do more, and so I'm going to mess with it. There's also something called Greenlight, which is another fork of this same open source stuff that works with all Microsoft internal network stuff and xCloud. So that seems interesting. I'm going to mess with that as well, because the haphazard way you put Game Pass on your Steam Deck is okay. But it's a pain in the ass if you're ever resetting anything or you got to like go update that shit. I hate it. I want something more native, and I'm hearing this is real easy. So I'm going to go mess with that a little bit. I've come to a conclusion, Brian. This is one other thing I wanted to mention, and then I want to hear about about the App Store stuff, because that's interesting. Because something big happened this week. But I have used Game Pass now for enough years. And PlayStation Plus for enough years, plus their new three-tiered thing for enough time.
Right.
That I can say without any hesitation today, Game Pass is kicking their ass on the value front. I'm sorry, Sony, I wish you could do better. I don't know how to make you do better. I know you didn't go on a buying spree, and you don't have the kind of bank and pockets to just spend billions on every developer you want to have them in-house. You have some of the greatest developers ever, but I understand there's a limit to that. And third-party participation in your Plus program has not been what Microsoft has gotten for Game Pass. Don't know if they're paying out more. Don't know why that is. All I know is for a long time, I gave you both $15 a month.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say this, because I like Sony and I like my PlayStation stuff a lot.
Yeah.
That thing feels like an empty turd when I use it compared to what Game Pass gives me in terms of volume, variety, quality, day one stuff, all of that. And I wish you let Game Pass on your device so that I could use my PlayStation Portal to run Game Pass off of your console. Ooh. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Microsoft loves this idea. Microsoft agrees with Scott.
They do agree with me. They want that. I don't think Sony will ever.
That's what they've been.
Sony may never cave, but if they ever do, it'd be a good thing. Because it's really valuable service. And it's this paying this one $15 thing and getting that much value out of it on cloud, on drive, on PC, on console. How do they even plan to come close over there on Sony? And Sony's got to bump up to $19.99, which gives you a bunch of retro games, but most of those are streamed. And they're not great. They're okay. The selection's kind of poop. And their backwards compatibility kind of blows. They don't have any PS3 or PS2 stuff, really, that's great. A lot of that has to be streamed. So I'm not saying they can't fix this or can't get their heads around it or that they can't, I don't know, come back to me and go, look at Plus now. I eagerly wait your changes to make that happen. But right now, I've done it enough with both sides. I canceled the PlayStation one because I was like, what am I actually getting out of this? Turns out nothing. Even some of the Game Pass games and PS Plus games are shared. They're the same free games in some way. And then on the Game Pass side, there's a ton more than Sony has. Yeah. And Sony pulls shit. They're like, hey, guess what's on Game Pass? What? Spider-Man Remastered from 2018 is on there with the better frame rate and the whatever for PS5. Oh, cool. I'll pay for that. Oh, what happened? Oh, we've removed that one, even though we have all the wherewithal to keep it on there because it's a first party title.
All the control.
But they made it scarce. They did like a Disney Vault bullshit thing with that. So knock that off and don't be so stingy and make this $15 really work for me. And then I'll come back. All right. All right, Brian.
I think you're seeing the result. Wait, just one more quick thing on that. I think you're seeing the result of a very clear leadership at Microsoft, Xbox specifically. They keep announcing the direction they're going into, and then they're following through. Sony feels more like it's still focused on what it's done in the past to be successful, and they're they just don't have a clear vision of where they're going future in the future, or they at least they aren't sharing it with us if they do have a vision. But Microsoft, even with their retro stuff right now, you know, they're developing a team that's going to, you know, be focused on game preservation, which Sony kind of did too. But Sony kind of just like, kind of almost like when a company goes out and says, we're going green. And it's like, oh yeah, okay, you're not really going green. You're going green as an advertisement that you're going green. That's that's basically what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
And I felt like that's how Sony did it. It's like, hey, we hear you about the game preservation. We're on it. We're preserving games. But are you?
Hired a whole team to do it. Microsoft hired a whole brand new team to do preservation. I think that means the games they own preservation. Maybe that's all anyone can do. Obviously, they're not going to reach across everybody's aisle and say, hey, Nintendo, let us help you with your game preservation. Because Nintendo doesn't want you in there anyway. So
they don't. So and that's fine.
You know, Microsoft saying, whatever. I wish all three of them.
They have very clear leadership in over there.
They have. Right? I wish all three would say similar things, because the entire industry could use a preservation jolt, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be super scary. It's something that we've finally gotten to a point where most of the game preservation up until this point has been mainly standalone games, cartridges, CDs, that kind of stuff. And now we're getting into the realm of how do you preserve a server? You know, because how do you preserve these things that only exist on the internet? That's expensive. I mean, it's not like, you know, taking a CD and then sticking it somewhere and going, there it is. Yep. It's preserved. It's safe. Look at it. It's nice and pretty and preserved.
Nice and preserved. We don't mean that. They need to be playable. We need games that are strictly online to have somehow preservation. Even if it means there aren't like tons of people competitively playing it. It does cost money. Like we do this now with Unreal Tournament. We do it with Unreal Tournament 2K4. Notice what we don't do it with. Unreal Tournament 3. Why? Because they didn't make any of that shit open enough to do it. And that annoys the shit out of me. And not only that, but Epic pulled that game from Steam. They pulled it from the Epic Store. They pulled it from anywhere you could get Unreal 3 unless you already owned it. And that includes, I already mentioned Steam. I had it on Steam, so I still technically own it, so I can download it. But if you didn't do that before, you don't get it. And the online's impossible, because the only way to play online is this login authenticator service thing that they ran. And that doesn't exist anymore. You can't log into it. So all you can do is bot matches. Freaking F that. That's not preservation. That's bullshitteration is what that is. All right. We've got a term for it.
If you enjoyed Scott's rant in this topic, which I love, Scott is excellent at this. You should definitely listen to the Core Pod, which is on later tonight, where we talk about where Scott and John and Bo talk about current gaming news. And Scott has such a deep knowledge of all these companies, and so I love listening to it.
All their BS.
I appreciate you. Thank you for letting me play along with that one.
Well, you're welcome.
To do with retro gaming.
Let's talk about the App Store, because the Apple App Store is like, hey, you guys want to play retro games? Because I guess we'll allow these emulators now. So that's cool. Have you tried this? Have you messed around?
That is cool. So the headline is this. Apple is allowing emulators back on the App Store, and that's the headline. The reality of it is, yeah, they are. So they've changed some terms where now they're letting more emulation with internal downloads and stores. So if let's say Sega decides to have a front end store in the App Store, right now Sega has a whole bunch of games that are independent, so that you can download, you know, some old Sonic games as independent apps, and they're all from Sega. Now Sega would have an opportunity, if they wanted to create their own kind of retro management, where they could have you play multiple ROMs using probably the same emulation. They just had it separated because the way the App Store was written. Right. So we can look forward to something like that. What it does not include is things that would specifically include illegal ROM software. So they're still not going to allow it where you're going to be able to, have an emulator that's going to be able to access a ROM library somewhere, or a distribution of certain things. It has to have a bit of legality to it, whether it be because the game is abandoned or because the company has given the grace of it. But this is still going to be shaken out a little bit. You know, it's going to, how they're going to apply this policy. So it's exciting news, because finally, that's really good, because that's one of the things I miss about my Android, is the ability to do that natively without having to jump through a bunch of bullshit. You can still do all that stuff on the iOS, but you got to do jailbreaking, you got to do sideloading bullshit and everything. And I don't like that. I just want to go to the Apple Store and download an emulator and use my ROMs. And I would be so stoked if Sega had like a full store where I could just, you know, I could just microtransaction my ass into
yeah, but you know what they'll say? Just they'll say, well, hey, we already have the Sega. We already have the Genesis collection on iOS. Go buy that. That's what they'll tell you.
Right.
Even though that's not the selection you want, or maybe all the titles you want.
No.
Like, there's a lot of problems with that. Here's the other problem, too, is as I see it, and I don't blame Apple for this. So the core reason they opened all this up again was because in the EU, they're being forced to. They're being regulated to open the store so that you can get third-party crap in there. It makes no sense for them to do that in one region and not the other, so they're kind of doing it everywhere. That's good overall, I think. That's a good move in general, and I think it's good to force them to have a little bit more open policy when it comes to their stuff. Here's what they don't want, though. They don't want Nintendo's legal team constantly hounding them for problems and issues. And ask Google how that goes, because they get sued for this shit all the time, and they don't like it either. So my thinking is they'll make this possible, and all the legitimate sources will end up being possible. But if you're thinking you're just going to go put like, what's it called? What's the retro? What's the software? I can't think of it all of a sudden. What's wrong with me? The thing that we all use for playing, for emulating games. It's a front end for it.
Retro butthole?
No. Retro butthole. No, it's a, what's the thing? We all use it. It's right. Where is it? Is it on my computer?
Retro Arch, Scott.
Retro Arch. Shit. Anyway.
It's got a little icon. Looks like a little Space Invader. It's one of my favorite. It's one of my go-to.
Right. But if you're going to install that and think, oh, I'll just have that and then I'll just put all my ROMs on here. No.
Right.
No.
That's not what this allows. And you know, Apple's not doing it because they're just nice, but because, like Scott said, there's some laws coming up and that's going to push it and force it. And if they got to do it in one area, might as well do it everywhere else in the world. And plus, they're also trying to manipulate the App Store a little bit because they don't want to lose out on all the money. So they're still going to be like going, yeah, we've made a way for you to put your app in the App Store and you have your own little store and stuff within the store, but you're going to pay us a little bit every time you do. So they're putting in place as a way to still get their money.
I had a question. The Xbox app and the PlayStation app all allow me to buy games directly through their iOS apps. I think it works a little like the Amazon app.
The
Apple does not get money if I buy a couch off of Amazon, and neither does Steam. Does not have to pay Apple anything if I buy a game on Steam, I think. I think the reason for that is Steam doesn't play the games. There's no PlayStation player on here, and there's no Xbox app that plays video games. I think that's not true, because you can do Game Pass, but you have to do it through here's the problem with Apple's thing. 10 years ago, what they were doing made perfect sense. It was like, it makes sense what you're doing. Today, there are way too many ways of doing things that Apple's like, oh, shit.
They led the store. They led the way with how we all purchase things now, which is to create an app store. And Microsoft is trying to build a Windows store on their platform. Everybody wants a store because of, how well Apple did with theirs. But now people want sub stores, little outlets inside there, and Apple's still like, yeah, but we want our cut too. We made this distribution network and we want our cut too. And they do that. So like you can't buy I think you can't buy certain competing products. Like you can't buy certain music things, I think, through certain apps.
I can't buy a Kindle book. I can buy a book on here. I can't buy a Kindle book on here. Because I have the Kindle. It is complicated. And that's my whole point, is like, this is going to get weirder before it makes more sense. But if you're a retro gamer and you were looking forward to having some of that shit on the App Store again, good news.
Look for a leader. Somebody's going to break out of this. Somebody is already reading how Apple has changed this and has opened up a source for revenue. Somebody's going to figure it out. Maybe AntStream or something. They're really big with retro stuff and it's all streams and stuff. I don't know who it'll be, but somebody's going to emerge.
Someone will get it figured out.
Emulators.
Or even better, someone will figure out how to take an AmberNIC and make it so the OS pulls straight from like archive.org ROMs or something like that. That would be cool.
Right.
They won't, somebody's but I want them to.
Figure it out.
All right. Well, it's time for our main topic, everybody. Sit back, relax, and get your claws out.
Shall we play a game?
It's time to talk about all those Wolverine games. He's sort of in the news these days with the revival of the X-Men cartoon with the X-Men 97. So people are talking about it, thinking about it. He's still everybody's favorite, you know, mutant. That's just the way it is with that guy.
Mutant.
And
yeah, everybody's hot about the new Deadpool Wolverine. This is the time we live in. People mm-hmm. want Daniel Radcliffe to be the next Wolverine. Will Hugh Jackman be replaced? One more time, Hugh Jackman. One more time.
Is that who we want? Do we want Harry Potter to be the... Is that the thing?
The internet has made a very compelling argument with some very specific photos of him shirtless and hairy. It's pun intended. So, yeah, I think... They've made a convincing argument. At first, I was like, that's ridiculous. But then the more I think about it, I'm like, okay, I'd be down with that.
You know who I want? Let me tell you who I want more than him. Because screw Harry Potter. I want the guy from Letterkenny. let me put this picture in here. You can see him. This guy from Letterkenny is your guy. Here you go.
If we've learned anything in the past.
Yeah.
We always see this, the internet gets a buzz. It's like, oh, this guy makes a really good look on this. And this guy you're posting here with Letterkenny, he looks, you know, he's great looking. He's got more neck than he has shoulder, which is a good Wolverine characteristic. Right.
Yep.
And so he looks, but then you got to say, what can the actor do? So lots of times we end up getting actors who look nothing like the person we want, but has a vibe that seems to work. So it'll probably be none of these above.
They'll get somebody else. I remember Hugh Jackman was controversial at the time because he was kind of skinny. He wasn't so ripped out as he is now.
Yeah, he was kind of small.
Yeah.
Boy, he does. He works up good.
No, he became the guy. Everybody loves him there. So anyway.
Mark Hamill to get ripped and play the whole thing. I think he can do it.
He can do it. Yeah, he does a good voice. Let's let him do the whole thing. Sure.
Yeah. If he takes his old ass to the gym, like... All the time.
All the time. So these games are going to cover anywhere between 91 and the original NES game all the way up till 2003. And notice the NES game is his weird brown suit from some old school comics. Not my favorite look for Wolverine. Oh. Some people love that. I like the yellow and blue personally. I'm more of a fan.
So you don't like brown on brown or brown on gold or whatever it is?
No, like
the blue yellow.
Not my favorite thing. Chat makes a good point. In the comics, he's evolved a bit, but in the early days, Wolverine was a very short, very stocky guy. Just a little, like a little ripped.
That's
dude.
Actually really good because I think it might have been in this Wolverine NES from 1991, the manual. I think they said that Wolverine was like 5'3". 96 pounds. Yeah. I laughed at that because, first of all, that was ridiculous. He's full of muscle. And as was pointed out at the time when I was streaming it, at the time, it was pointed out, don't forget about the weight of his adamantium skeleton. And I'm like, you're right. I'm like, who wrote this manual? They just took one look at guy, said 5'3", 96 pounds. Sounds right.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
Yeah. I don't think the weight is right at all, given how much he is. He's more metal than man at some point. This first game, I'll play a little audio from it. I'm gonna just say I think this is kind of a kicking soundtrack, so let's hear a little bit of it.
One thing that is consistent throughout all Wolverine games we're covering this week is mind-blowing music,
except for this.
It's better
except for that flute
But for an NES, it's pretty hot.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I'm not going to complain. I think it's better than most.
Yeah.
It's a side scroller. It's another side scroller, folks. Just to warn you here. I mean, that's what they made on the NES in 91. That's all we were doing. So that's what you get back then.
Thanks a lot, Software Creations, Acclaim Studios, Manchester.
Oh, yeah. That's a very early Acclaim deal. Before they really took off. And I think they moved here. We had them in Salt Lake for a long time, and then they went out of business. Ooh. Was it Acclaim, or am I thinking of... No, it was Acclaim. I had friends that worked at the Acclaim offices, and they got laid off in the big firing of 1990, whatever it was. Late 90s. But anyway, it's this is all right. I played this a bit this week. It's okay. You know, you're moving left to right. You're getting jobs done. You're poking people. You're punching. It's fine.
Right. It's really not. It's not okay.
it's really bad. It's a terrible game. You shouldn't play
it. It's really bad. First of all, if you want any story, first of all, you start out in this side-scrolling platformer in some random room. And at first I thought, oh, I'm in the danger room. Because, you know, it's kind of like,
right.
You know, it's very generic. I'm like, oh, he's got to jump from this, you know, platform to this platform while robots shoot at him and that kind of stuff, which is what I got a real strong vibe. And I said, let me break out the manual because I don't understand how I'm supposed to be moving here because I got two buttons and a D-pad. How am I supposed to make this very acrobatic character move about with deft? And I read the story and it's like, oh, Wolverine wakes up on a beach and then he finds a building and apparently it might be the Brotherhood of Mutants terrorist. And he may have found their new headquarters for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And Magneto may be behind it all, but that's what you got to find out. Each one of these Wolverine games does share in common is typically Wolverine is in some situation. He has no memory of what has happened and he must uncover the truth. Who is after him? Who has put him in this trap? Because he's a rat in a maze. He's an animal. He's constantly fighting to prove that he is human. And that was the cherry on top is one of the last games we review. They actually talk literally about that. So they, you know, they know a little bit about the comics. We got some of the superheroes here. Hey, do you remember Cyclops' brother, Havoc?
I sure remember Havoc. Yeah. Oh, yeah. From the comics.
Yeah, he's apparently in here.
He's not as cool as his brother. I'll tell you that. Colossus is way cooler than Havoc. And also Colossus does that famous thing where he throws Wolverine at the enemies, right? Like at a...
Oh my God, I used to love that. Was that Colossus that did that?
Yeah, Colossus. That, right? I think maybe the Hulk Colossus did it once or twice because the Hulk was, you know, there for a while. But it because was the Colossus thing for
he's
sure.
He's a small ball of furry, right? He's a fury. He's furry. He's, you know,
whatever.
You're furry. You roll him up and you toss him at things and then he brings the claws out. That's a Wolverine. That's what he rages out.
Yeah, that's what he does.
But yeah, you're supposed to be able to find Havoc at some point in time, but each level, and you're going through levels, like the first five levels before you even really get started in the game, are called Trials by This, Trials by That, and it's usually a theme like a Trials by Traps, which is the one I think you're showing now, and there's Trials by Water, which I hated. I hate water shit.
Yeah, water sucks. Water levels suck.
Wolverine does not swim well, by the way. I don't think if you throw Wolverine into the water, he's really gonna rage out.
Yeah, and he also should sink given the physics of his body, but whatever.
Right.
I got a question for you about the fighting because this bugged me the whole time I played it.
Fighting?
That's my point. Like, his claws don't freaking come out in regular fights. Like, he just punches dudes. That's boring.
So this is another theme that happens throughout all these Wolverine games until we get to some good ones after this ones we're going to cover. Wolverine is always hamstrung by some type of thing that keeps him from using his full abilities. Here, you have a shared life strength bar. And so if your strength gets below a certain point, you can no longer use your claws. If you bring your claws out, every time you use your claws, even if you're just swinging in the air, you lose like half or a quarter of a bar every
time. It's lame.
And so that just slowly eats at your health. So you're being punished for doing the one cool shit thing that you wanted to do with Wolverine, which is to pop your claws out and claw a bunch of people. So you end up doing a lot of platforming, swimming under stuff, constantly getting hit and pushed around. You never feel like a superhero in this game. You feel like you're just hanging on.
Yeah.
It's like I'm just hanging on.
You're just hanging on. You're not living the fantasy of being him. I don't think. Yeah. This could be any side
story. You're promised, you know, here's some Jubilee stuff. You're promised to see other mutants, you know, whether they be the bad guys or the good guys. Yeah. And you never really see them that much. Mostly you're just fighting against robots and stuff. And there's like at the very beginning, you're fighting this guy that shows up, throws out a ball and just disappears. That's what he does. And I'm like, who the frick is this guy? And why does he keep doing that? And you're making my platforming, which could be maybe one of the most fun parts of this is watching Wolverine do some cool acrobatics between platforms. Instead, you can't jump to a platform because you have to sit and wait. Waiting. Okay, now I can jump and now I got to time it. And there's not a lot of satisfaction in any of this game. If you're thinking about playing the NES Wolverine game, play it for 5 minutes. You'll get an idea of what you're in for. It doesn't get any better from there. It just gets more asinine.
Yeah.
The whole game's just trying to kill you constantly.
I'll give it a tiny bit of credit for the running animation. I think it looks pretty good.
It's sounds good. It looks pretty good for an NES game.
Yeah.
And there are moments of fun, like when you go berserk, which is like a little berserk meter that builds up over time. You can freak out. Yeah. But yeah, if you don't like, you know, Wolverine trying to breathe under air, it looks like Batman when he's underwater.
Yeah, it does. He changes color. He turns into a light blue and a dark blue thing. It's very weird.
Yeah.
There he is. Look, that's so stupid. When Brian earlier said, here's some Jubilee stuff, he was referring to the video for those at home who are like, wait, what were you saying about Jubilee? And just for some clarity.
Yeah, Jubilee does. So we got Jubilee and Havoc on the good side. They show up, and I don't know if they're communicating from somewhere else, but they show up. I played this game in maybe 35% of the game before I was just like, I'm wasting my time. And if there wasn't like the system I was using had save states, if there wasn't for that, I don't know how in the hell I would have ever made it to the places that I made it to.
As far as you got. Yeah.
You get a lot of, cut scenes with Sabretooth taunting you. And it's you know, it's an NES game. It's an early attempt, 1991 for Wolverine. And probably my favorite thing is them trying to pretend like a hamburger, which gives you health.
Yeah.
And the beer, yep, which they don't call it beer. It's definitely beer, but they don't call it beer in the game. I forget what they call it, like pop or something like that.
I don't understand why. I don't understand why burgers, literally there are completed burgers, like buns and all the stuff.
Right.
At the bottom of these swimming pools for him to get for health that he'll go grab, and underneath it'll be like something that'll hurt him. So you got to grab the burger and move away. And I'm like, in what sense does this give me the fantasy of being Wolverine ever with these burgers?
Really weird. What do you think Wolverine's preferred burger is? Because you know what? Out of all the shit time they spent on this game, they went through the effort to not only just say, pick up hamburgers for health. They said, pick up Wolverine's favorite hamburger for health. Do you know what his favorite hamburger contains?
No idea. If this is a comic reference, I've never heard it. I don't know what it is.
I haven't either. And I'm looking for it now because it was in the freaking manual and I might have to come back to it. But
in the chat, favorite, you guys know what that is. Because
right, his favorite food is this. I found it in the manual.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Go. If you're still trying to guess, put it on pause. Otherwise, here it comes. His favorite food is, you guessed it, I didn't guess it, burgers. Burgers with the works. That would be onions, jalapeno peppers, chili sauce, pickles, and cheese. Very Australian, Canadian, or whatever the hell he is.
He's Canadian. There's no Australian in there, as far as I know, or Austrian.
Right. Isn't that what they did in the cartoon, though? Didn't he have like an Australian accent? Isn't that what the...
No, as far as I know, did he?
Yeah, it was a cartoon. When one of them, he does it. Is it the
Oh, that's right. We got to go find that. Hold on a second. That is a thing that is worth hearing, you guys. I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah.
And now that you say it, I totally remember it. All right, here it is. Oh, my gosh. Why won't this let me type? All right. This is X-Men Australian accent. Let's see if I can find it. Wolverine, here it is. This is not the 97 based on one. This is different.
It's not the X-Men 90s. It's the short-lived pilot thing they did. Pride of the X-Men.
Pride of something like that. Okay, here we go. Let's hear it.
Visit.
It's wonderful to see you again, Professor.
Firestar, over here.
Coming, Cyclops.
This is our other new member, Wolverine.
How you doing? Want a piece of fruit?
I have heard so much about you.
That whole scene.
You want a piece of fruit? That's terrible. Amazing. Amazing. All right, I forgot about that. That's from, chat says that's from Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. He also, he's also Australian in that.
Yeah, there's been some, I don't know at what point in time that they got confused. My understanding, he was always Canadian. Yeah. Bub. You know, he's always, but,
well, in the comics, he definitely is. I don't know what they were thinking there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's freaking weird. All right. Let's now move on.
Australia, whatever. It's all the same.
Let's move on to my favorite music I've heard all day. All right. I didn't know. Now, I owned the Genesis version of Adamantium Rage. I owned it.
Me too.
I played that game, 94. Here's the problem. I didn't know this, but that game on the Super NES had a completely different soundtrack. And it is so freaking terrible great that I'm going to play it now. All right, just a little bit of this. Here you go.
Wolverine.
Now, you think if they're done saying the name Wolverine? Give it a sec. This gets better and better.
Wolverine.
It gets even better. Give this a sec. Let me skip ahead a little. Okay. Wolverine.
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 Is that not the stupidest? Most amazing? It's amazing, dude. Like, that is 90s as hell. Everything about it just drips 90s. But it's nonsense. Yeah. Like, why is that in this game? Why is that a Wolverine thing? Why is there scratching?
Wiki, wiki, wiki.
Wolverine.
Wiki, like, wiki, wiki, wiki.
Give me a break, dude.
This is, developed by Bits Corporation, which is more of a European type of game developer there. The artist who was working on that, I believe, is Dylan Bill, if I get this right. And he was a little bit into the grime scene, as it was called over there, which was a little bit of rap, a little bit of kind of funk kind of music. Bum, 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 bum.
It's terrible.
Bum, 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 bum.
Dun, dun, dun,
but it's terrible, but it's freaking amazing.
Yeah. No, I don't want it any other way. Trust me. This is the way to do it. The Genesis game's kind of boring that way. The music's just very Genesis. It's like no big deal.
Yeah.
But this thing is
rocking, though. It's not
bad. It's super, you know, it's like that whole their crappy sound chip and all that. But the SNES game really does look better. This is the better.
Yeah, the father of the PlayStation made the sound chip.
Oh, he did?
Well, yes, that's the reason why it sounds so good. Don't forget, in case you forgot.
Sony father of PlayStation. Yes. Yeah, it's look, whatever. I have fond memories of the Genesis version of the game, but this is the first time I'm going to admit this as a big Genesis fanboy for all those years. This is a much better game on the SNES than the other one.
And this is definitely not the same game. So they both share the name Wolverine Adamantium Rage.
Remember when we did the Alien 3 games, how different those were? That's what that reminded me of. Very different.
Yeah. You're getting two totally different experiences. They're both set in the same kind of, hey, I'm Wolverine, and oh no, somebody's trapped me in this area, and I don't know what's going on, and I've got to find out what's going on. And both of them do deal with the impending doom that is LCD. It's that little android girl that explodes once she gets a hold of Wolverine. Not so much. It doesn't happen as often in this one on the SNES as it does. You definitely know when it's going to happen in the Genesis version when she's going to show up. There's a meter. There's literally a meter that says, here she come. Here she come. And the SNES version, it's a little more random. Matter of fact, most of the SNES stuff, in my opinion, is much more random, because what you're doing is Wolverine's going through this facility, trying to kill the bad guys, and most of them are like androids and robots and that kind of stuff. It was that era, man. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to kill other humans. You wanted to kill androids and robots.
Yeah.
So he's laying waste, as you do, and you're supposed to kill enemy types, apparently. So when you first start out, there's a little meter on the screen that says 15 left, and you'll have to go through and you have to kill each type. However, the problem is some of them, some areas when you come across creatures, they're just auto spawning because there's like a generator, and it's just like they just keep bringing out enemies, and you kill all of those guys and you never make progress on killing creatures.
Yeah.
And so then you'll go to another spot and you'll have an individual one and you'll kill that one, and it's like credit. You get credit.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in this game is so random. It just doesn't function well in that way.
Yeah, it's very different. The Genesis game I loved, and I don't know if it would hold up. This is the one I didn't play this week because I didn't want to. I don't know. I didn't want to be faced with the possibility that I thought something was.
You misremembered it. You misloved it.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a thing about him and his character in all of it, comics, animation, this stuff. It's just impossible to ignore him. Like, he's just, he's that kind of a character. So I'm going to just make this statement, and I'll stick by it. I think that these games, as much nostalgia as we tend to wrap around our retro experiences, I think it's okay to allow for some of the stuff is not great, but because of our love of the character and the fact that we just got Wolverine shit when we were younger, it's cool, man.
Yeah. You know? Any taste. Give us a taste. I want more Wolverine. Bring him to the, bring them to the video games. And that's what happened here. Unfortunately, they didn't give us the best iteration of this. You might have rented this back at the Blockbuster for the SNES version. And it, just like in the first game, I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but his healing power is an effect in the first one. You know, it slowly regenerates over time. Same here on the SNES version. You have a healing factor. It's way too slow, but you still have it.
Yeah, you have it is way too slow, though. I don't like how slow it is.
Way too slow.
It's annoying.
I will give the SNES this. The amount of moves. So I discovered this while I was playing this week, to compare the two. The Genesis version only has the D-pad 3-button support.
Right.
So that kind of limits Wolverine a little bit. The SNES, of course, has the 4 face buttons, the D-pad, and the 2 buttons on the front. So that is a lot of buttons to control. So they give him all of these different abilities that he can do with his, he can climb walls, yeah. He can slice in front of him, he can kick, he can slice above him, he can slice into the ground.
Way more moves.
He can backhand people. He can do all of these different things. The only problem is controls like shit. Mm. So it's very inconsistent. And I tried on different systems because I was like, well, maybe I'm having some kind of lag. I tried it on my Mr. FPGA, which is hardware emulation. I tried it on RetroArch. I tried it on my Steam Deck. Everywhere I tried it, it all seemed to be the same thing. And what I read, the controls are just loose. So you may, you need to punch down into the ground. You're supposed to push down on D-pad and hit the claw. And it worked 25% of the time.
Yeah.
For no reason whatsoever. And then sometimes it would just chain attacks together that make no sense. You're like, I didn't push those buttons or in that order. I pushed them 3 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Definitely some weird,
weirdness too. Yeah. Latency and lag. Yeah. It felt like it wasn't totally done. You will get a tighter playing experience on this. Is often true though, right? Or a very tight experience, action experience on the Genesis, quote unquote, blast processing at work, I suppose.
Yes.
Not necessarily a more nuanced one than you might get on the SNES. And the SNES, better sound, yes. better visuals. Although, I don't know, you could argue that, I'd actually argue the Genesis graphics here are brighter, but they're not better. It's
hard to explain. I think that, like you said, the SNES, I think, excels at the audio and the visual look of it. A much larger Wolverine sprite to look at. He's got his blue and yellow in this one. In both games. And he's a little bit slicker there and a little bit larger, but the Wolverine version just feels tight. The pixel art itself, you can tell the artist who did the pixel art were really good. The sprite stuff is really like you said, for the Genesis, moves really well. Does it's exactly what you would expect from Genesis game. Look, all you gotta do is imagine your favorite SNES video game and your favorite Genesis game, and it operates pretty much in that order of what you would think it would operate, like pros and cons.
It's a little bit of a bummer that the 6-button support wasn't there, because that thing had been out a year or something, 93 or so, is when that happened. So I don't know. Originally it was just a peripheral that you could upgrade to, and then later the Model 2 Genesis would come with a 6-button controller.
Yeah,
that would be much more adopted at that point. Than you had originally. Man, I remember at the time being so annoyed. Anytime, this is true with PlayStation, when they had the dual stick come out, the first one, that was mid-generation. We didn't have that with the first thing. And so when that happened, I remember Wipeout XL didn't support the sticks. And I was livid. Ooh. I was livid. I was so mad.
I was livid.
I was so pissed, dude. And it would always annoy me that these controller changes would happen and then nobody would buy enough of them. And then the developers wouldn't bother to support them. And it was like, well, then why did I buy your shit? Come out with these things the first time so I don't have to dink with it later. And then Nintendo, that was Nintendo's fault. They came out with a N64 controller and Sony's like, oh, shit. We better make a thing with a stick on it that's analog. And then we'll barely support it through the generation of that thing. Grr is what I say. Grr.
Yeah. So one more few things I'll say about the SNES version before we kind of move on to the Genesis, which we kind of partially covered so far, because you can't really do the two without comparing them. I kind of did like the fact that there was so many buttons, and it was a big letdown when I got into the 3-button at first. But then I realized, those 6 buttons, that's way too much control. I felt like in a lot of these games, all these Wolverine games going forward, I feel like I'm playing a bit of Wolverine 2-WOP, where it's like, I don't need to control everything. All right.
Yeah.
I don't need to control. I don't need to be making Wolverine walk. You know, you can cover that part. So, yeah, I felt like maybe it was a little bit trying to over control.
I get it.
A little bit.
So, I totally get it. Yeah. There's some of that going on.
Because you know what? Because the problem was that most of the moves weren't applicable to anything I was doing. And that was causing me great frustration because I would come across like something that would seem indestructible, like these drone generators that were generating these drones that were just instantly, you know, just
thing.
Constantly coming through.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, how do I destroy this? So I looked at the manual and went back, looked at the manual and was trying to look at all the moves because they don't document all the moves for some reason. God forbid you tell me all the freaking moves or, you know, a reveal story to tell me what it's supposed to be. So I eventually was able to destroy a couple of those generators, but it was a very specific move and I never used that move again anywhere else. It wasn't like it was teaching me along the way. It was just like, hey, try all the moves you got. Yeah. No, still not working. Frustrated yet? Too bad.
Too bad. You paid $40.
Too bad.
Can't take it back. Oh, well. Hope you rented this at Blockbuster because you're screwed. Right.
Hope you're taking this back Monday because otherwise you wasted your money.
What did you think of the Digital Eclipse port of X-Men Wolverine's Rage on the Game Boy Color in 2001? Did you play that at all? Because I played a bit of that and thought it was okay. It was all right. Not the worst
tell you, the
Wolverine.
Digital Eclipse.
Yeah.
Right. Let me tell you about the Digital Eclipse with X-Men Wolverine Rage for the Game Boy Color from 2001. I loved it. This may be my most surprising one out of all of them. Because,
same. I was surprised. I didn't think I was going to like it at all, to be honest. I was like, well, this is going to be like the NES game. This isn't going to be very good.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
No, it's actually the opening stuff. Some of the opening scenes that are telling the story is better than the freaking artwork in the SNES version, which I thought was kind of crap. The Genesis version looked pretty good, but the SNES version looked pretty crappy. But yeah, like the opening scenes blew me away. This was Game Boy Color stuff. I'm like, holy shit. And it's a city platformer. I was so glad to finally play a Wolverine that got out of these danger room type places. I was so sick of the explore the facility shit.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm sick of this crap. And this one gets us into a city. Now, you could go, well, this is like there's a million of these on the Game Boy Color. Pick
Batman,
intellectual property.
Robin. They're all like this.
Yeah, they're all like this. It's fine. But the thing that really sells it is the whoever did the sprite work animation.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. So freaking juicy and good. It's so fluid.
Yeah, and surprising. Fast. It's really surprising for a Game Boy game. I realize the color was a little more capable, but it is his claws are out all the effing time.
Yeah.
They even do the little snicked thing when he pulls them out, and then he goes nuts. The running is a little goofy, but the actual like fight animation, the dangle off the edge animation, the swings he takes, you're right. It's crunchy. It's chunky. It's good. It's real good.
Yeah. It's real good. Like I said, it's not going to win any awards because, you know, it doesn't do anything terribly original. It kind of played it safe as far as the gameplay goes.
Right.
But visually, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. And I always felt like I was powerful. I felt like Wolverine. I felt like I was knocking shit over, punching people out, not having to stand around in some spot going, well, let's wait for the healing to happen. Let me use my healing. Yeah. I feel like I had plenty of lives and plenty of continues.
And his auto heal actually works pretty fast here. It's not a slow heal. You know, you're always generating if you're getting hurt, which I appreciate. Yeah. Appreciate that a lot. Do that with Wolverine. That's one of his damn powers, damn it.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
During Lady Deathstrike, though, she's generally from this era it was either Sabretooth or which was most of the X2 stuff. But it was either Lady Deathstrike. She's always showing up to you know, command the minions. So you kind of walk your way through. Hey, and look at this. This is 2001. I guess we're finally getting okay with killing people.
Yeah,
even though this is
people.
In a format that you would probably think more made for kids. Finally stop killing androids and android dogs and on to slashing some humans.
The good news is no actual dogs, not real dogs, but only humans. So
the Genesis version has a cyber attack dog. This a real butthole.
Yeah.
And, oh my God. just back up real quick just for a second. Do you have the music for
I can play a little bit.
The Genesis version?
Oh, the Genesis version? Because I really can. Let's see.
Yeah, I really liked that music. It was a much harder. So you heard the beep, burp, burp, burp in the other one, but now we have the Genesis version goes a little bit more metal, right? Yeah. Which is how I and myself envision the internal music that Wolverine Logan has got playing in his head. If he had a pair of AirPods during this time, I think he'd be listening to something more metal, right?
Here's a little taste. Here's a taste of it. And let's play a little. Bow, bow. Let's try the intro stuff. Oops, here we go. And at the time, my attitude would have been like, that is so much cooler than Nintendo, man. It's so much cooler.
It was like, shink.
Shink.
He takes his claws out and he looks at you and he's like, we got attitude. The Genesis was so, in your face attitude. But 3-button controls and how to get from one point to the next. This game's only like an hour long. I watched somebody who knew what they was doing.
Yeah.
They weren't speed running. They just knew what they were doing. They had played it before.
Yeah.
It might be a 3-4 hour game, definitely a weekend rental for most people, since most of the time it's just going, I got to jump from here to here. I can't jump that far. What move do I need to use? All right. I fell down to the bottom. Got to climb back up again. Here we go. Jump it again. Nope. That's not it. And it was just a matter of, you know, once you understand and discover the different moves and you have to put them in your little brainy brain, because this is password stuff. We're not talking about saves. This is the Genesis.
Right.
And once you put in your little brainy brain, you can finish this game in about an hour. Yeah. And
stuff is short.
It is kind of fun. Yes, it's short, but there's no go, go, go mechanic like in the SNES version where it's just like going, go, 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 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. You can't stay here. You got to move along. In this one, they got that countdown meter of LCD, that little girl who's going to grab your leg and blow you up. And it's hilarious to see, by the way. Wolverine's just sitting there looking at her going like, yep, I guess this is it
for me. I'm going to die now. Right. Tondagos in the chat says he has literally metal in his head. That's perfect for the soundtrack.
Yeah,
I agree.
So you think he uses bone conduction? Maybe you think he uses some bone conduction headphones? Maybe?
Yeah, I'm sure that's it. They just connect straight to that metal. Let's get to now Wolverine's Revenge from 2003. This is a PS2 title. Only a year after this Game Boy Color game, which is funny to me.
Yeah.
They feel like different lifetimes, but that has a lot more of what you'd expect from a modern game. Here's a taste.
It comes back to me in the blink of an eye.
Real quick, that's your Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill.
Yeah, I'll continue.
So good.
Here we go. Whoops, why is that going?
Bits and pieces. Like the dream you start to forget as soon as you wake up. Or maybe more like a nightmare. I was a hard guy for the Cloak and Dagger boys up in Ottawa.
I was a hard guy. Yeah.
Man.
It's a little over the top. It's fun, though.
Yeah.
The game's all right.
But that's okay. That's what Wolverine is, over the top, right?
Yeah.
And so I didn't realize he did the voice work on this. I was just thinking he was a mute in this game. I knew that Patrick Stewart was in it, but I had no memory of ever seeing a Wolverine game that was voiced by Mark Hamill. And oh my God, when that happened, I lost my shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm in. Yeah. I am in all the way. Weapon X. This is finally we get a real reason to be somewhere. This is Wolverine's backstory. This is coincides with, I think, the second X movie, the X2 movie.
X2, yep. The cover X2 is what's his name? It's
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman on the front, which is not in the game. He doesn't look anything like Jackman in the game. The character, the voice is not even close. I don't know what the hell happened. I guess that was a marketing decision, but yeah, it was
I think it was probably Hugh Jackman said, "No, you may not use my likeness. No, you may not use my voice." And maybe it wasn't like that at all. Maybe it was just outside the budget. And so, but they did make this character look nothing like Hugh Jackman, which is good. Actually, I actually enjoy this probably more now, because it probably would have felt like a cash grab, even though it was. You've seen the cover; it's got Hugh Jackman on it.
You know what it is? I tell you what this is. There's an equivalent in the book world when they make a novelization of a film version of the book. Sorry, another printing. So if you go buy Dune right now at a Barnes & Noble, you can get a hardbound version of the book, and it's going to have Timothy Chalamet and freaking Zendaya and all these people on it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same. Even though the book, the contents of the thing are not at all related to the film adaptation, there's money to be made in that recognition. So I'm sure that's just a version of that. You know?
Yeah. And this has some good stuff. So is, you know, it was hinted at a little bit in the movies, especially during Origins, that kind of stuff, which comes later on. But this story was written by a comic book writer, Larry Hama. So there we go. So we finally get some real good story instead of people who are digesting the comics and then spitting it out on screen. I'm not saying they didn't do a great job. They didn't. But here we finally get somebody who kind of gets Wolverine, from, you know, the voice actors to the writers. This is some badass stuff. You know, Wolverine is angry. He's super angry because this is him breaking out of the Weapon X facility where he's been tortured. And
You know, and it's OG stuff. This is like original story stuff. It's pretty great.
Yeah. And so instead of fighting against like androids, which there are some androids and stuff, you're fighting against a bunch of other Weapon X kind of weird shit.
With some blood. So you got like blood in this thing. I like the blood, man.
Yeah.
More blood.
First, did we mention this third person? So no more side scroll. I don't think we mentioned that part. It's third person.
Third person 3D. Really great shadow work for a PS2 title. I'm a little surprised by that.
Yeah.
It was nice. In some ways, it looks very old. In other ways, it's like, oh, this isn't bad. Like, look at his little head up there moving around while he's all pissed. His little icon head is amazing. Yeah. I could stare at that all day. It's a cool game. I didn't play it, though, back then. Didn't buy it. Didn't even know about it, to be honest.
I didn't play it either, and I was a little worried because I had heard, I didn't see a lot of reviews on it, and the few people I did, they were kind of riffing on the angry video game nerd kind of thing where they were like finding a lot to hate.
Yeah.
And while there are things to hate, I found way more things to love. Now, am I saying this is a great Wolverine game? No, but I think it's entertaining enough. And if you go in with the right expectations, if one of the first things you got to realize is this is a stealth game. So it's not about you fighting your way out necessarily. It's about you stealthing around and picking opportune times to attack. So if you get used to going into stealth mode and just staying in stealth mode, because you're not penalized for staying in stealth mode. So I just stay in stealth mode, which kind of almost like a predator vision, but not that blurry. You know, you can actually see things. Additionally, you get these smell trails so you can see where you're downwind to the person you're going to do a stealth kill on. So you'll go up if you're in a position where you can go around and get behind a bad guy. You can attack him. And when you do, you get rewards like dog tags, and you get comic related memorabilia.
Big giant dog tags, stuff. By the way. You get a dog tag. It's a huge rotating floating icon that you have to pick up. I used to, when games used to do that, like oversize all your rewards you had to pick up and stuff. I miss that stuff, dude. I kind of miss it.
I did. You know? I love that. I love the fact that when you get that right away, the game designers give you really good clues that you should be exploring. Mm. And so when you explore behind stuff, you find comics. And when you get those comics, you can go back into the main menu when you're playing, and you can choose different costumes. So you can choose, because you start out with just no shirt Wolverine with the Weapon X head gear thing where there was analyzed and everything. And so, but you start unlocking other costumes, you start feeling kind of like a badass, even though you're having to stealth around. It makes sense in the story of context because, even though you are one of the most powerful things, you're in a facility that is making other powerful, crazy shit. And so it feels right. And, if you don't mind doing some stealth gaming, now, if you hate stealth, you're not going to like this one because this is very stealthy. Mm-hmm. You can run straight through. Once again, you get a healing factor where you can heal. And that's kind of a pain in the ass. But I found that there's no penalty for standing around. So if you find a location, this game is linear and the enemies are for the most part stationary. They'll be in one area and they have a patrol area and you can just kind of stand somewhere and heal up. That's when I take the chance to go grab a soda pop.
That's right.
And come back and go, hey, what you doing, Wolverine? And, so it's kind of nice little breaks like that.
The rest of the country is trying to decide whether they say pop or soda. Brian has decided he will say soda pop and get it all in one shot.
Soda pop, baby.
Yeah. Get it all in one.
Suck it. Suck my soda pop.
Nothing wrong with that. So, Nothing wrong with that.
So there, to me, there's a lot more things to love here than to hate. Now, it is very linear, so it's not, it's, it definitely feels like a game from 2003.
Oh, yeah.
You got to go through a linear progression, and that's fine. And I never got stuck anywhere, really, so I felt good about that. I got a good ways through the game. The game is not super short, but it's not long either. It's kind of right there in the middle for me. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cool storylines going on. There's a couple of scenes that I literally lost my shit, where it's like, oh, did that just happen? You know, stuff that scares you. And I was like, wow, that was a big surprise. The biggest downfall of this game, though, is no checkpoints. So it's kind of hard in some areas. And, you know, and so usually if you would have, you know, a checkpoint, you get to start a level and you make it to a checkpoint. If you die, you just start back at the checkpoint. No, here it sends you all the way back to the beginning of the level, which can be very frustrating.
I hate that.
You could be in an instance where there should be like 8 checkpoints. And so you're almost at the very end. You get killed and you got to start all over again.
I'm going to say that 2002 is too late for that. You need to have checkpoints in your game. What are you doing?
Way too late for that. Now, I mitigated that process because I played this on my Steam Deck using the PS2 emulator, and it has save states. So I save stated a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that may have helped me not running to the aggravation of that. But there's cutscenes that you can unlock. The bonus stuff is a lot of fun. Like I said, there's Professor X stuff talking about Cerebro and giving you a little backstory and stuff. The story's revealed very, you know, I think well. You even get, if you finish the game, you even get some great, cutscene stuff, like a Spider-Man scene, which I think I posted down there at, under the little known facts, stories, and interesting links. There's a Spider-Man deleted scene, in this game. It's actually pretty cool. If you get a chance to do that, because he's listed in the credits, but I'm like, I never saw him. I never saw Spider-Man. It's the voice of, what's his face? The guy who does Spider-Man voice at that time from some of the Spider-Man cartoons.
Oh, I don't know his name, but I know what you mean.
Chris, what is his name?
Larry Patuti.
Rhino Romano.
Rhino? His name is Rhino?
Rhino. Is it Rhino? No, it's not R-I. What's that?
Because Rhino's a bad guy in the Spider-Verse.
Right. I don't think it's Reno, because Reno is R-E-N-O and his name is R-I-N-O. So I want to say Rhino with this, you know, with a silent R.
Could be Rhino. Could be Reno, Rhino going to Reno. I don't know.
Yeah. Did you see that link? Let me post it in Discord too, if you don't have it, that link to that Spider-Man game. If you have time to play it. If you don't, we can just skip it and you just like
put it. No, stick it in there. Jam it in.
There you go. Stuck it right in there as the deleted scene with Spider-Man and Wolvie meeting each other in this game. So a lot of unlockable stuff. Is not as good. This is not the apex of Wolverine games. We get some really good Wolverine games going after this. This is just the apex before they start getting good.
Sure. Here's the scene.
Wolverine on his motorcycle.
Yep. Look at this quake ass looking shit. Oh, I can smell him.
Oh. Easy there, buddy.
You picked a bad day to come sneaking up on me, bub. I'd see you straight off your home turf a bit.
Heard about the big bust out at the Void. So I rode out here in the chartered bus along with the other superheroes who can't fly or teleport.
Right.
It's animated. It's so weird. Something about it. I can't put my finger on that style.
I love it, though. I kind of miss it. I kind of miss that. It definitely felt like that WB more. It felt like it had like a combination of WB cartoons slash a little bit of comic sensibility, mm-hmm. a little bit of the movie stuff. It was just really, I don't know. Like I said, I found it way more interesting than the reviews that I had read about it. And maybe that's just, I don't have any nostalgia for it.
Yeah.
Maybe because I can encapsulate it in 2003, it seems unique enough that it was interesting.
Yep, I agree. Tonda Gosa said my favorite thing in the chat today. Reno in the streets, Rhino in the sheets. the best game, X-Men game ever to come out before possibly this new one that they're working on is a game called X-Men Origins. And it is the Wolverine game based on the horrible movie Origins, but the game is really good. This game's great, dude. I played the shit out of this game when it came out, and I thought it was awesome. It's a little modern, you know, 2009, definitely not in our retro thing, but we wanted to at least mention it because the game was not afraid to get bloody. They wanted to put, like, you know, claws in people's faces, and they did. They cut off heads.
Yeah.
They stabbed dudes, you know, hardcore. Guy would bleed all over the snow. Like, they weren't holding back.
This is when he had bone claws,
yeah, for part of it. In the movie, he had them.
Yeah.
There's a chunk of time where he had them. I don't remember how the movie played out because it's so bad. I freaking hated it. But there's a scene in this game where he attacks a helicopter and kills the pilot while it's flying. And it's one of the most amazing action set pieces in games up to that point. But you're talking 360 PS3 era. It is cool if you can play. I don't know where you play this now. I think you probably have to have the disc. I don't know where else this is playable.
Yeah, I was trying to see it, you know, some of this stuff with Microsoft doing all this game preservation. I meant to look to see if it was coming to Game Pass anytime in the future, but I don't know what all the deals are and all of that. But yeah, I think you just have to emulate it currently for the 360.
Yeah,
there's plenty of 360 on there out there for the.
Yeah, PS3 much harder to emulate. 360 not so bad, or a lot easier.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. That is our look at the X-Men games of note. Over the years.
Wolverine games.
That's right. But now, today, apparently we're spending some time with the GameCube in our version of Guess My Game.
Destroy it.
By sheer accident, both our games are GameCube games for our Guess Our Game today. And I don't know why that is. I did not know this going into it, but you had chosen a GameCube game. I did as well. We're only a couple of years off. I'm going to start. This is where we play audio from an old game and we try to make the other person guess what it is. Brian, mine is from 2005. Ooh. And the platform is, of course, the GameCube. And there are four choices. I will read those to you in a moment, but I'm going to play the audio first. See if you can figure this out.
Is this Wolverine?
Hey.
Now you hear Mario in there and doing stuff. This is definitely a Mario.
The game is Mario.
It's a Mario-related game, but all of these are that I'm about to read to you. So you got to tell me which one this is. Here are your options. A, Mario Power Tennis.
Wait. I just heard a whistle. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mario Power Tennis. B,
right.
Super Mario Strikers. C, Super Smash Brothers Melee. Or D, Mario Superstar Baseball. Which of those four do you think this is? And I'll turn it up again.
This is too hot for Mario Power Tennis. That's more of a chill game, right? That's more of a chill. You wouldn't have that kind of rocking tone in a Power Tennis game. But Mario's still in that, too.
Yeah.
Super Mario Strikers has got a little more action to it. Super Smash Brothers Melee. That's a lot of action, a lot of hotness.
Yeah.
And Mario Superstar Baseball. I could see them leaning that way for some reason, but I still think they would probably go with a more subdued. So I'm kind of narrowing it down to B or C. I think I would recognize Super Mario Super Smash Brothers Melee unless this is a very specific area. So I'm going to say B, Super Mario Strikers.
Let's see if it's B. Is it B? It is B. Congratulations.
Yes.
Super Mario Strikers. Fantastic little soccer game that I hear the Switch one's pretty good, too. I have not played it, but heard good things about the updated. I think that one's called Super Mario Strikers Vengeance or some shit. It's got a weird evil name
Revenge.
At the end. I forget the name of it.
Right.
Nicely
and,
done.
And Mario's all got claws and stuff, and he's like, he's doing spin attacks.
He calls people bub. It's great. Hey, Brian, I'm going to play yours now. Yours is from 2002. Same thing, though. GameCube, right?
GameCube, 2002. Mine's a few years earlier than yours.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's give it a shot. Hear what we hear.
We're here at the second.
This haul is so long. I could practically have a manicure and pedicure done before this is finished. We're looking at a 329-yard par 4 with a dog leg to the right. Blah,
all
blah,
right,
blah.
So we got some golf going.
I went sports.
Yeah,
we both went with sports this week on the GameCube. Odd, but we did it anyway.
Yeah,
we're on the same page. Me and Scott live in a parallel existence. Mm-hmm. It's going to be A, Outlaw Golf, B, Hot Shots Golf 4, like 4, Swing Away Golf, or D, Crazy Golf World Tour. A, Outlaw Golf, B, Hot Shots Golf 4, C, Swing Away Golf, D, Crazy Golf World Tour.
I like that you what say you golf. You don't say golf.
Golf.
You say golf.
Golf. Golf.
It's a little trickier than I thought. I don't think it's Hot Shots at all. Hot Shots didn't have a game on the GameCube. That was all PlayStation.
Good call.
It was a great series, but it wasn't ever there.
That was a trick series.
Although, Hot Shots Golf 2 is the same developer. Camelot! They made both. Camelot made both that and the Mario Golf for the N64. GameCube, though, is different. So that's off the channel there. Swing Away, Crazy World Golf, or Outlaw? I mean, Outlaw Golf, I think, was an Xbox game. I can still buy that.
Outlaw Golf was that. I think that was on. I think I actually made it everything, didn't it? It was on. I think I had it on the Xbox, but I think it was on PS2, GameCube. I think it even get on Windows, I think.
I thought that was a pure. It was everywhere. I thought that was an OG Xbox thing. But maybe I'm wrong on that.
I think it was exclusive at first, I think. I had that one. That was like one of the first ones I got.
I'm going to say Crazy Golf World Tour because it's the only one that sounds right to me.
Crazy Golf World Tour is incorrect.
Damn it.
I was trying to give it away by telling you it was on everything Outlaw.
It is Outlaw Golf. I thought it was Xbox only, that thing. Frick.
That's what I had originally.
Let's look at the chat room. Do you want to get this?
I did get it on GameCube later on.
Chat room says Outlaw Golf. Oh, Tonda got it. Let's see. Oh, then he thought the same thing I did. Oh, no, it's on Xbox. I think.
Yeah. That's the most popular version, I do believe.
No, that's what hung me up, dude. And I think the 360 version of Outlaw Golf was only an Xbox thing.
I think you're right.
Because by then everybody golfs or everyone golfs or whatever was had taken over on PlayStation, which was they just went ahead and what is it? Everybody's golf's the same as Hot Shots, so we just quit calling it Hot Shots.
Yeah.
Because Americans.
Did you notice at the top of that?
Yeah.
That's Steve Carell talking?
No. Hold on. I'm playing that again.
And comedian Dave Attell also does some announcing.
Oh, I love Dave Attell. I just watched his new special on Netflix. It's great. It's very funny. Hold on.
Yes.
We're here at the second.
Oh my gosh.
This hall is.
What is he doing in there? Why is it? Why? Why? Why is he a voice? That's weird.
To deliver funny lines.
I guess.
They were, the Outlaw Golf would also often introduce their characters and they would introduce them by talking about their crimes and that kind of stuff. So I definitely want to eventually us to get to reviewing the Outlaw Golf series here on Play Retro.
I love video game golf, so sign me up.
Yeah.
Apparently not enough, though. I got that wrong. Let's move on to some emails here.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
More specifically, these are both texts that came to us at 801-471-0462. This is from an anonymous person. It's actually the same person twice, but they sent two different messages. One says, for Play Retro, can y'all do an episode on Jumpman and Jumpman Jr. by Randy Glover? Those are still some of my favorite games. I'd never heard. I mean, I knew Jumpman was Mario originally, but I didn't know who Jumpman.
Well, that's where I was getting confused. Apparently, this is an Epics game. You would have seen this stuff like on 8-bit systems like Commodore 64, the Atari 8-bit, ColecoVision. So, next time we come back around to the 8-bit computer process stuff, I think maybe we should do this one.
It reminds me of Hard Hat Mac. And I mean, it's clearly like they're riffing on Donkey Kong here is what they're doing.
Absolutely. They said if Mario is going to leave, if Nintendo is going to leave the name Jumpman, on the table, we're taking it.
Yeah, they just said, we'll take Jumpman. Thanks, fellas. Yeah. Here it is, chat. You can see a screenshot here from Jumpman.
I love the cover art for the first Jumpman because, you know, there was a lot of construction going on during the early 80s, during the arcade craze and 8-bits. And so if you wanted to do something heroic, you had to get involved.
That's right. Get out there. Yeah, don't just stand there. Yeah. Get out there. My favorite is the I'd love it when they got hyper realistic art for video games. Jumpman Jr. uses that. And I don't know why Jumpman Jr. has to look so, like, it looks like Running Man or not Running Man.
He does.
Logan's Run, is what I meant.
Yeah, with the first one, they went with like, look at this sci-fi looking artwork. And then the second one, it was like, Neon Man, he's transparent and he's coming to you. He's jumping from the computer. Like, I wonder if Tron happened between that first cover and that second cover.
Oh, might have
felt like they needed to do like this jump thing. Also, there's fireworks going on behind the Junior one thing, too. Like, pew, 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 action.
Yeah, it's very weird. Also calling it Junior after Donkey Kong Jr. had come out. Yeah.
I know. I love it. Jeez. Oh, did you know this made it to the Wii Virtual Console? So apparently, I guess he made up.
Yeah, Nintendo's cool with it. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's like, yeah, okay, fine. Come on.
He also says this. Also, when I was little, I used to play an arcade game that used a crossbow and had a mechanical ninja that would jump along walls that you had to shoot. I can't find what it's called, but I used to love it. Do y'all remember that game or what it was called? I have no idea. I tried to look it up.
A physical mechanical ninja, like... on the arcade?
I mean, it sounds like the physical part was the crossbow. Walls. But I don't know about mechanical. When he says mechanical, does he mean like a robot ninja? I don't know what he means.
Right. I think he means like maybe like you ever watch, of course you've seen The Price is Right, you know, like the yodeling climber guy, like that. Like maybe like a mechanical little cutout of a ninja that would climb up physically, maybe. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what you mean?
I have no idea. I've never heard of this.
Because that would be interesting.
There is a 1987 game called Ninja Hamster. Let's see. Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja.
Bad News.
Ninja Master. Let's see. Kai Temple. Ninja
Crossbow Arcade Game.
The Last Ninja. Yeah, there's a lot of these. We need more info. It's not enough.
Yeah, we need more info on that.
Let's see here. Yeah, I can't find it. Well done, though. Thank you for those. Also, we got a voicemail. Yeah. Check this voicemail out from Zinger in Wisconsin. He has a little follow-up to Asteroids and old arcade issues here. Nope, that's not it. Where did I put it?
This is for Play Retro. This is Zinger from Wisconsin. On the last episode on Asteroids, you guys were talking, Brian was mentioning capacitors and power supplies and how a lot of that is maybe not so great. I think it's less, not that it's so not so great, it's just that capacitors do age, and I learned this from, you know, restoring retro or antique radios and such, but a lot of times those capacitors are large and they age out and they lose their rating. So when you're restoring something like that, that's one of the first things you go and do is replace those capacitors. Yeah, the modern ones are better, but back then they weren't bad. They just age out and get old and crusty and don't do their job quite so well. Anyways, love the show though. Have a great day.
I love that he's doing like old radio restoration. That's rad.
Yeah, I love that. Now he is correct. Capacitors do typically have a lifespan that they effectively operate in because they weren't meant to last forever, right? So, but there was an era that was occurring, especially around the time of this boom when the Game Gears and stuff were being made, where there was this boom in electronics. And from what I've read historically, this is from several sources that I can't recall off the top of my head because I was doing the research on this when I did it. You know how you do when you do on research, it could be total bullshit. All I know is this, from everything that I read, there was a kind of a run on capacitors at the time, and they were really working to get those out into market. And sometimes the quality was substandard compared to capacitors of previous years.
Right.
So, true. I think both things are probably true. but I can't source the material. But what you said is absolutely factual. Capacitors do have a, you know, a
they got a limit, so, man. They don't last forever.
They do have a limit.
It's like us, our human bodies, man. We're going to give up. We're going to give all that up one day, you know.
That's capacitors are intentionally inexpensive, and they're intentionally the part that is set to fail. There's a reason why there's a, you know, the reason why they do bulge up and explode, because that is the cheap thing to replace. They're easy. They just have two legs typically, and you can, you know, usually just soldered on the board and you just pop them out. Instead of being soldered on top of the board, they're usually soldered through the board. So, I mean, it's designed intentionally to be something that's fairly inexpensive to replace and protects other components.
Yep.
It keeps good, the energy flow.
It's consistent. Good stuff. Speaking of bad old art, though, I just wanted to quickly remind the chat that Berserk used to have some very cool cover art.
Man, look at that thing.
Yeah.
Look at that guy in his little panties. Oh, wearing his little panties. Look at his little panties he's wearing there.
Still, one of my favorite books that I have is the Atari Art Collection book. That's just got all of that fantastic Atari
art. I have that too, somewhere.
The manuals and the covers. God, those are so sexy.
Where is mine?
Look at that.
I wanted to take it. Oh, do you have yours with you, by the way? Do you have it handy?
Let me see. Is it within grabbing range?
No, it's okay. It's not a problem.
I usually keep it.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me see. Wait. Might be. Yep, I do. I do have it.
Cool. Pull that up. Oh, I have. Here's the link. I was just make sure people could like get a copy of this if they want it. And you can see Brian's.
This is the art of Atari Tim Lapitino.
Yep, there it is. That's the one.
Ernest got some foreword by Ernest Cline. Remember that guy? He was Ready Player One. Yep. Very excited about the time that this came out. And man, this is an amazing book with just illustrations, a little bit of story behind the illustrations. And oh my God,
it's Othello. Free. By the way, free on Comixology if you just want to see it. $37 for hardcover. It's available now. You can go get it.
Look at that. There's Defender. We covered Defender, and I did look at this during that time. Look at those people running from the spaceships, and got some real artwork on this too.
Mm-hmm. Some of
the concept artwork.
It's very cool. Stuff. Yeah. Beautiful. Highly recommend that book. I have it somewhere. I just don't know where it went. Somewhere over there. All right. That is it for these bits of correspondence. Thank you guys so much for sending those in. It's time for a brief look at what's going on in the Unreal Tournament Report.
Ludicrous kill.
Any movement on the charts? Anybody's diving in front, or is Sick Recce still the best player on the planet?
I don't think we had any moves on the Unreal Tournament 99 other than Frog Pants. I think slipping to number 8. I think you were still number 7 last time I looked. So a Sick Recce at top, number 1, Flap Jackson, Upright Knight, Denier, and then Shock Effect still holding on at number 5 because I've been playing on Monday night. Scott's been doing the Monday shows, which is also a great thing. And if you're gonna miss out on Unreal Tournament 99 on Mondays, Monday show is a really great way to do it, right?
Yep.
And then on Unreal Tournament 2K4, for some reason is saying unnamed, which makes me feel concerned that maybe the server is down and no one has told me. Number 1, Sick Recce. 2, Try to Kill Everyone. Those are still the same places. Frog Pants at number 3. I think you were there last week too, right? And Brag Frack, and then Shock Effect number 5. I think those haven't moved, but we didn't play last week. And I'm starting to get concerned. Maybe the server's not running. Is it up? Because I don't like the fact that it's got unnamed on it on Game Tracker.
Yeah.
Don't know.
I don't like that either. That means nothing.
Let me take a look at that while we wait. Yeah.
Look at that. Well, there you go. That's what's going on over there. Sick Recce's still a monster. Just a monster.
Still killing it.
Yeah. Let's get to what we're going to talk about next week, which I'm very excited about this. Huge fan of this series. We're going to talk about the original and subsequent Roller Coaster Tycoon games.
Yes.
Hey, so PC excited. Players. Hey, about you, PC people. Quit complaining. We got a PC game to talk about.
I'm looking forward to this one, too, because, man, I was a big roller coaster tycoon fan. And subsequently, Zoo Tycoon. Man, I really got into a tycoon phase of my life where I want everything to be a tycoon. I want to micromanage all this stuff.
I still have. There are new games that. Essentially these, and I love those too. I love all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
If you like those kind of games, or you want to talk about some of the OG, Roller Coaster Tycoon is going to be your friend.
All right.
Yeah. Atari's been sending me stuff about Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, I think, is turning. Was it 20? There's some kind of milestone for part 3 that the Atari's been. Hey, Brian, did you know you need to order this? We got some special, what do they call those boxes? You get a framed, relief kind of thing. It's not a picture, but it's kind of like three dimensional, but it's not a hologram.
I don't know.
What's the word I'm looking for? A box of shit. It looks 3D.
Where you walk to the side and it changes the image. Is that what you're talking about?
It's like it's got levels of stuff. You know, it's like almost like steno cut stuff, and then there's like another level behind that where it's like, what do they call those things?
No idea.
Box? No.
I have no idea.
You know what I'm talking about. Somebody knows what the hell I'm talking about.
Taz says they're all on sale on Steam.
25th anniversary.
Yeah. Get them on Steam. Shadowbox? That's not it. It's something else. It's something else. Right. I don't think that's right. Lithography?
I'm looking for my Atari thing now.
Might be lithography. I don't know.
But hand-signed Shadowbox, exactly what it is. Hand-signed Shadowbox, Roller Coaster Tycoon, 25th anniversary.
Really?
Hand-signed limited edition.
Nice.
Should I buy one of these?
I don't know. Should you?
350.
Oh, geez.
350 of these.
Oh, $350, I thought you were saying. How much is it?
No, it's not much better here. I will put it in the here you go. I'm sending that to you in Discord now so you can see just how much it is. It's not $300, but it's not far from it. It's $199, but it is signed limited edition.
Okay.
There you go.
Interesting. Real quick, if you want Roller Coaster Tycoon on the cheap, they are on sale right now for the anniversary, and the first game is only $149.
Wee.
That's stupid cheap. I'm sorry, even
picking
less.
Now.
$149. Two is $249. You get the whole bundle for $10.55, and that includes World Special Edition or Deluxe Edition 1, 2, and Roller Coaster Tycoon Classic, whatever that is. What did they do there? That came out in 2017. I don't know. I kind of want to grab this. $10 for all of them? Why not? You know?
Yeah. Doesn't include three, though, does it? Is that
three is not on here? Looking at three's done on
$10.55. That's fine. You can get three separately, but yeah.
Let's see. Roller Coaster 3. And that's only $6 right now.
Yeah. Complete edition is only $6, I believe. Yeah.
And three. People like three, right? Three was good.
I liked three. Yeah, three is good.
I remember liking 3-2. All right. Well, anyway, big sale. Thanks, Taz, for the heads up on that. All right. That is going to do it for us, everybody. Hey, look, we love our patrons the most. I'm sorry, everyone else, but we really do. We love them all so much. And I want to welcome somebody to the show, if I can find the name. Brian Sakowitz, who just joined us at patreon.com/playretro. He will now experience the show with no commercials ever, pre-show content every week, and other monthly benefits that you're all just dreaming about. If you just sign up today at patreon.com/playretro, that's patreon.com/playretro. I think it's going to do it for us. Brian, is there anything you'd like to say as we exit the building?
Yeah, I can't wait to build a roller coaster that makes people puke, just like in that commercial. Love it.
Excellent. Can't wait either. Being here next week, go play something retro. We'll see you then.
I'm buying it. Purchase.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Like a nightmare.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.